No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls continued their reshape of their roster yesterday in trading Lonzo Ball for Isaac Okoro. On today's episode, I want to talk about the direction that the Bulls roster is on, trade rumors around Ayo Dosunmu, and why Patrick Williams and Nikola Vucevic have been so hard for the Chicago Bulls to move. We're going to talk about all that, plus dive into the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, my Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into it, man. The Lonzo Ball trade went down yesterday. I'm not going to go over that trade in depth and in detail. Well, it's not really a lot of detail in the trade. We had a whole emergency episode breaking down why it happened, what happened, and all that type of thing. So make sure you guys go and check out that video. It was me and Steve-O on it, or you can check out the episode if you're on the podcast side. We dropped that as an emergency episode. Then last night I came with a shorter episode talking about what's next after the Chicago Bulls have now traded Lonzo Ball and what that sets up for further moves with the roster. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to focus on this point real quick, right? And I know not everybody is going to agree with this and what it's happening, but the Bulls roster is starting to take shape, and not take shape in just the now, right? I've said it before. As fans, we look at just the now because I said it. It's simple. We're tired of fucking losing. It just is what it is. Excuse my French for those that don't like hearing cussing on their podcast, but that just is what it comes down to. The Bulls fans are tired of losing. So, of course, we're looking at everything in the right now and how this team. I can't tell you how many comments I've gotten from people. Oh, my God, we're going to fight for the 9th and 8th seed again. It's like, okay, yeah, all right. There was nothing that was going to drastically change that. I hate to tell you guys, the Bulls were never going to be making the type of trades that puts them in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference this year. If they get there, it's going to be because of development, right? And that type of thing. If they get into the top six, it's going to be because of the internal development, the team having another year of being able to play together, Kobe White's role not changing, a step up from Matis Buzelis, that type of thing. But for NBA front offices, you have to be realistic about your now and how much you can do to improve your now, and then also look at how much into the future. Now, Noah Essengay isn't some five-year prospect before you get anything out of, which some people have been talking about him. And, he's not that. He's a player that is raw, and that means that it's going to be a while until he kind of develops into his perfect form. But the goal is to get him to be increased. Now, how much he plays in his rookie year under Billy Donovan, we already know. It's probably not going to be a whole lot, at least not up front. But again, another thing that has kind of become and taken a mind of its own outside of reality is the fact that so many people, Billy Donovan doesn't play rookies. Every rookie under Billy Donovan, except for Dalen Terry, and if you want to count Marko Simonovic, who was a second-round draft pick who just ended up not being that good, has played under Billy Donovan. P. Will started under Billy Donovan right away. Ayo Dosunmu was playing double-digit minutes his first game in his NBA season, in his rookie year. Now, his minutes kind of fluctuated at the beginning there, but once they understood what he brought defensively, he was consistently playing under Billy Donovan. So, period. He was playing under Billy Donovan. So, Julian Phillips was on pace to play, I think, 65 to 70 games his rookie year before he went down with injury. So, it's not this thing that people, like, have now turned it into to be like, Billy Donovan just doesn't play rookies. Now, he doesn't throw them out there, right? And it's like, oh, you're getting 20 minutes right away. Again, because this team, basically after the Patrick Williams draft, has been in a place of trying to win now. You have DeMar, you have those guys. So, yeah, those guys aren't going to see a whole lot of minutes up front in a case like that. But, you know, to say that Billy Donovan does not play rookies is just false. Now, that's not to excuse some of the stuff that Billy Donovan does mess up on. But again, it's just a false narrative that has started that people have it's become this thing that's just taken as fact in the collective mindset of Bulls fans. That's just not there. Right. But with that said, like people who've said, and I, like I said, I've had conversations with multiple Bulls fans. It's all I do basically over the last couple of days. Like, the Bulls haven't even opened their window yet. So to talk about thing of maximizing a window, they haven't. And it seems like the Bulls have finally stopped convincing themselves that they have a window. When we were with the last version of the team with DeMar, Vooch, Zach, Lonzo, AC, right? The Bulls kept talking about a window that honestly just wasn't there. Now, had Lonzo not went down, maybe that window would be a little bit more realistically open, but it wasn't. And so I am going to commend this front office for at least realizing their window is not open yet. So don't live in a window that's not quite open yet. Yes, you want to look towards the future now. You want to also make moves that help this team and help this what you have here be in a better position to win now as well as much as you can. And that is something that the Bulls are doing. And I think it really has confused fans because typically fans have this mindset of, oh, we're rebuilding and tanking or we're trying to win it all now. And there's this gray area between that. I want to admit, not a lot of teams are able to thread too well, and AK has to be very, very intentional if he wants to be able to thread that, because that's going to be difficult to do, but there is that in-between. And so, I've said it many times, the Bulls are going to let the natural conclusion of whatever season they're in be that natural conclusion. That's what happened with Denver, that's what he's bringing over here, meaning it's not going to be, I'm trying to trade anybody so I can bottom out. It's not going to be, hey, we're going to make this super, well, they did it before with, well, not super huge trade, but they made trades with DeMar and Zach try to open up a playoff window. But it seems like they've learned, let's not try to go in on major trades just to become a playoff team, which is something that I've been saying for the last 2 years that the Bulls should not do. Not look to make major moves just to become a playoff team. Get to a place naturally through your progression in drafting and then supplement that with making a bigger move to get you over whatever hump that you are at that point in time. The Bulls haven't even reached that. We are less than a year into a major reshaping of this roster with trading Zach LaVine, moving Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan being gone. We are less than a year from that. To expect for us to go from that was a core that they were so heavily invested in, to all of a sudden now being this team that everything is just making sense to win now, try to win 50 games now, I would love for it to happen, but it's not always realistic. And we still got major pieces of that roster in regards to Vooch and Patrick Williams that probably need to go, right? So I think that what they're doing here, it seems like they're committed to a play style. They've committed to a way that they want to play, and that is with pace, that is with positional versatility, and with more pace. That's really where the Bulls are. Modis and Noah Esenge really look like two players that really can be kind of the model of, and I'm not saying they need to show a lot before you can build around these guys, before you can say these are what we're building around. They're building blocks right now, but Noah hasn't even taken a single step on the NBA floor yet. And Modis has a lot that he needs to grow on before you can say that he's even a player that you can build around yet, even though some Bulls fans are trying to crown him now. But they have, like, you can see how they fit together. And I think that's something that I've always pointed out. When you draft and when you're at the place that the Bulls are, you do have to consider fit. You have to consider a play style. And it seems like the Bulls are really locked into that, right? Noah Esenge, 18 years old, 6'10", 7'1", wingspan, one of the tallest standing reaches in the NBA, athletic player as well, with a 34-inch vertical, which is crazy when you consider his wingspan and height. This is a guy that is going to thrive in transition. This is a guy that furthers that kind of more up-tempo pace as long as you're Josh Giddey. That is what they're doing right now, right? And Kobe can play in that too. We got to see what's going to happen with him and in the future and things like that. But it seems like that is where the Bulls are now focused on. They're focused on reshaping their roster around a play style and skill sets And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? And we're going to see how that ends up paying off. Again, just because you have a vision doesn't mean you can execute it. And that's where Bulls fans and their concern over the way that the front office is doing this is absolutely valid, right? But, you know, the Bulls are going to continue reshaping that roster. Now, per Casey Johnson, there's more trade chatter around Ayo Dosunmu, and that makes sense. I've said this many times before. Ayo is going to be the player that, if you are focused on getting the most draft capital back, Ayo's going to get you the most back because of the fact that his contract is easily matchable. He's a two-way player, and his contract, even upon an extension in unrestricted free agency, is probably not going to be some ridiculous level contract unless he comes in, has like some all-star season, right? So it makes sense there. And I think the word chatter that Casey used there is very, very poignant and intentional. It means that, much like at the trade deadline, more teams were calling on Ayo. It doesn't mean that the Bulls are open to that, but maybe they could become if they want to start stacking draft assets. That's what it comes down to as well. We shall see. P. Will and Vooch are still on the trade block. Now, those guys are kind of difficult to move right now. P. Will, because he has 4 years left on his contract, and teams look like every move that the Bulls have made this offseason is so far in Noah and in Isaac Okoro both get you to a place where you're just seeing that P. Will is not going to be part of the rotation more than likely unless he comes into training camp and fights and earns that spot in the rotation. Then he's going to have to keep up on it during the season to keep that up. And we shall see if that happens for P. Will. Nikola Vucevic, it's a more difficult one. I think that the marker for Vooch may materialize after other teams strike out on some of the other centers that are on the trade market and on the free agent market. You got Dayron Sharp, guys like that I think are going to teams may prioritize just because you don't have to trade for them. But even then on the trade market, there are younger pieces that other teams could kind of prioritize. But that Vooch thing, it may materialize. It may not happen until the trade deadline. But when you hear the chatter around Ayo, it makes sense because of those things. And we got to see. I think another thing that we can also check off the list at this point is that the pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga, if it was ever real, outside of maybe some calls and some intrigue around it, that is done. That's done. Jonathan Kuminga is not going to be a Chicago Bull. I feel very confident in saying that. I think when you draft Noah, even though he is going to be a player that probably won't start for a year or two, right? I think that Jonathan Kuminga, and with the contract that he would demand, even just to get into a sign and trade with the Bulls, it all kind of worked itself out that's probably not going to happen for the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, again, the roster is starting to take shape. Now, it could take another drastic turn or whatever. If they do trade Ayo, that's going to be a turn. If they do find a P. Will and Nikola Vucevic trade partner, it could take another turn there. But it feels like the Bulls are really starting to settle in on the direction that they want their roster to go. Now we got to see if they can execute this version of it. And that's just where it sits at. And we shall see in that. How much faith you have in that, of course, is based upon your tolerance for what you have with this front office. And nobody can blame you for that. But we shall see what this team looks like and the shape that it takes going forward. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. With that said, it is Sunday, so that means it is mailbag day. Let's get into these voicemails, man. This first one, this one's from Korn.
What's the good word, King Drift? It's your brother Korn, man. Let's get right into it. I am watching your big-headed ass right now as we speak. So you see your ass talking in the background, man. Ayo Dosunmu, come on to the front center, my brother. We need to have a conversation. Ayo, they are having conversations about you. I don't like them conversations, bro. I hope that this is just chatter, as Casey Johnson said. I hope it's just chatter, man. I really, really don't want us to trade Ayo, man. I believe he's a young vet, for one. Of course, I'm biased because he's homegrown. Great two-way player. It is so weird that they need, and I get irritated for the fact that I know that Ayo is going to be worth more than what Vooch and P. Will is. But let's make this make sense. We need to keep him as a building block and ask him to incubate the others into Chicago. He is a great leader. He was, that's why I really want him to be with us. He's the leader without being the best guy on the team. I want him to be our Udonis Haslem. You know, I want Io to stay. Io, I don't know what the fuck AK and Mark are chattering about. They shouldn't even be having any fucking chatter. I want you to stay for the long haul. I want you to retire a Chicago Bull. To me, you already deserve that, right? That's how much I love me some Io DeSumo. I hope this is just chatter. Again, I hope they get rid of P. Will, Booch, anybody else, or even have any other conversation before this bullshit. Please, Lord, I just, basketball God, somebody smarten up these motherfuckers. There shouldn't even be no chatter. This is our young vet.
All right, so, Corn, you committed one of the biggest sins of calling in, even on radio. If you were calling to the Breakfast Club or anything else, do not call in and leave a voicemail while you're listening to the show in the background. Let's have a little bit more voicemail etiquette. And that's not just Corn, that's everybody. Let's tighten up. Remember, this is a show that other people listen to for entertainment. I get it. We have a very laid-back feel, and I want it to feel like you're just calling in, talking to your homie. But, like, come on, bro. Like we got to get that together a little bit. With that said, the IO chatter is just that now. It's chatter. I think it is. The only way I see the Bulls really move in IO is if they all of a sudden become focused on getting more draft capital back and compensation back. And that's where Io DeSumo would then be moved at if that ends up being the case. He's the player that is going to net you the most back as far as draft capital because a team can match his salary easily. Almost every team in the league has an expiring contract of $6 million to match for Io DeSumo. And then at that point, because it's probably a contract they don't care about, they'd be willing to chip in a future first and maybe another additional protected first, a conditional first, or even a swap, something like that. So if the Bulls were to move Io, it would come down to their focus and that deal has shifted to compensation. I still don't know if that's necessarily where the Bulls are at, so we shall see there. I like you for many reasons that you laid out. Io's a homegrown talent, actually homegrown being from the city of Chicago, but also we drafted him. So I would love to see Io stay in the Chicago Bulls uniform. But like I've told many before, we can't just expect them to trade our trash if we want good trades back. If the Bulls really want to make a big deal, a big good move, they're going to have to trade some good players. And one of those good players is Io DeSumo. Could also be Coby White. And we're going to have to come to the realization of that. So many fans, and not just for Bulls, but overall, and me doing NBA Central and Sky Central, that is like, let's trade our trash and get something great back. What the hell you think this is? And I'm not saying that's what you're saying, Corn, but just in general, kind of the mindset from fans. So we got to be more realistic in that. Again, we shall see what happens. If it does happen, we'll be here to cover it. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Javier.
Yo, what's going on, Hayes? It's Javier. You know, just touching on the draft, the Lonzo trade, and, you know, how I feel about it and just trying to get your thoughts on, you know, what you think about the future for the Bulls here.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, to the brother Korn, you know, I love hearing those dudes, that dude's, you know, his voicemails. You know, I love how passionate he is when it comes to his voicemails. So, you know, I really felt that when, you know, when they got no Esenge and they didn't get Derrick Queen. Now, personally, I didn't mind the, Esenge. I didn't mind them getting Esenge. You know, I had him kind of like in my top three. It was between him, Asa Newell, and Cedric Coward. And, you know, the fact that they got Esenge, like, that's fine. That's, you know, that's not too bad. But, you know, I'm pretty happy about, overall what happened, except for what happened in the second round. You know, what happened in that second round was, it's kind of stupid if you ask me. I feel like they probably could have gotten another second round pick out of the Lakers, you know, or something to that effect. But yeah, overall, you know, I'm pretty okay with what happened, and I just wanted your thoughts on, I mean, I know you dropped the episode with the Lonzo, trade and all, but I guess, what do you see in the future for the Bulls? Like, you know, what do you think is going to happen? How everything's going to play out? I know we got, you know, the two head coaches that we got last year. I've seen good development out of the players after they made the hires last year. So, you know, what do you think about the future? Peace.
Yeah, what the Bulls did in the second round to me is the more egregious thing. And that egregious is probably still too strong of a word. Lackland Albrecht, it looks like a pretty solid, like I said, typical second round pick that you got. Somebody with some promise, a high floor. But, you know, you question on if they're going to make the NBA level. But I think when you look at the aggression that they could have shown with what the Lakers shown with their pick, keep in mind, the Lakers had to make one trade for the 45th pick, right, to get that from us with cash. And then they took that 45th pick with more cash to move up to what, the fifth pick in the second round. Like, that shows that forward thinking that we just lack from AK sometimes. And you want to see better aggression from him in those areas. Like, this was a draft where there were four or five players that fell to the second round that can be contributors day one for you. And that's where the Bulls missed on. And that's where it comes down to, I think, a lot with how upset fans get with AK. Like, okay, cool, you took the Noah pick. I do think that people are going to come around to that years as it goes on. But that thought process in the second round, just, it left a lot to be desired. I love the Esenge pick, the Esenge pick, as you pointed out, though. And I think that signals an investment in Modest Buzelis and what they think Modest can be also, because that is a really good 1-2 punch pairing that it looks like it could be on paper. And we shall see how that develops over time as well, Javier. But great voicemail there, man. Let's get into this next one. This next one's from Josh.
Yo, what's up, Chicago Bulls Central? This is Josh out in Arizona. And I'm calling about the trade that just happened, the straight Lonzo for Isaac Okoro trade. Seems like AK loves those one-for-one trades. Kind of crazy, but I mean, I see a lot of people complaining online about, this trade, calling it a bad trade, saying they're disappointed because we didn't get no picks out of it. However, I feel like I can understand why it's disappointing because of what was there before. We could have got, you know, that Grizzlies pick, you know, number 18 and that earlier for Lonzo. However, if we are, like, going with AK, like, his plan, after the season ended, like, it's fresh, and I don't know. I can't hold that them holding Lonzo and not trading for that Grizzlies pick. I can't hold that against them. I won't hold it against them when grading this trade. For me, I can't lie. I think it's a W. Lonzo. Just getting anything back for him, I feel like, was going to be a dub. Like, feel like if we got two second-round picks for Lonzo, you feel me, or 2 to 3 second-round picks, like, people would have been maybe happier with that. But, that's where I seen his value was at. See his value at now, because the dude doesn't really play. He's cold for sure, but he doesn't play. And for Lonzo, we was able to get another defensive wing who is going to definitely raise our ceiling in defense, but he can also, you know, shoot the three better than how Patrick Williams has been. Being that they was in the same class, it's kind of tough, funny too. But yeah, I think I see this trade as a W, and also it shows that they're probably going to get Patrick Williams up out of there, probably for nothing. And I think everybody should have their mindset for that. But C-Red, let me know what you think. Have a good one.
The disappointment around the Bulls not taking the Grizzlies pick at the deadline is legit. I want to be clear there. That is legit. That is, once again, AK missing on an opportunity that then he goes later on and trades that player, or in some cases he's let a player walk away where you could have got something and more back. And I think that's it. But I do think fans need to realize that you weren't getting that Memphis Grizzlies pick. The Memphis Grizzlies made that offer before Lonzo's season ended, right, with another season-ending injury. With Lonzo missing basketball for 3 years, coming back, and the season ending early with another injury after having an injury earlier in the season that almost ended his season, then that, like, you're not going to get that at this point. You weren't going to get that after a season ended with injury. You just weren't. So, you know, I think that's what it comes down to overall. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I do think getting Isaac Okoro and a young player on a cost-controlled contract that's not ridiculous, that you have 2 years left on it, it's a solid acquisition. Now, the 18th overall pick could have ended up being much better than that, but it's a solid acquisition, and I think that that's just what it comes down to. It was solid enough, and we shall see how it continues to work out, man, overall. Like, Josh, I get you. I feel you, man, and, you know, that's just is what it is. Like, and we shall see how the Bulls fix that, hopefully, going forward. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Soul.
What's good? It's your boy Soul calling out Toledo, Ohio. Man, this Saturday, I just recently heard about the Lonzo Ball trade, and for me personally, I like this trade. Even though I know last year we could have traded for the number 18th pick, and trust me, I would have rather had that, but it comes to the point where you got to realize what organization we have. Any other organization, I would have loved that trade. But for the Chicago Bulls and AK, man, I'm happy we went this way. Only because AK would have found the way to jack the number 18th pick. Look what he did with 12. Look what he did in the second round. Look what his track record has been. Trust me, he would have got some Joe Blow out of Germany some damn where that we don't know. And, you know, it's got a good upside, you know what I'm saying? Like, got a good, you know, raw player. We have been looking like that and be like, well, why he didn't pick a known center what we need or anything that of need? He have been and picked a, you know, raw player pretty much. So, since we don't have another reason to be mad again, because trust me, if we got that number 18 pick, he would have done something stupid then too. I just would truly believe it. So I'm happy with Isaac Okoro because I know the defense that he brings, and yes, he's another four, and hey, you can't never go wrong with, you know, defensive wing. So hey, I can deal with that. I take that all day long. Now, it just now really came to my thing, like when I woke up and I thought about the Bulls, it made me think of something what Pat said on Lock on Bulls a while ago, what Pat designer said. I don't remember how many episodes ago it was, but he was saying, like, the AK is doing the Bulls like the Denver Nuggets. And I'm like, he is doing the Bulls like the Denver Nuggets. Like, it's going to be a slow, drawn-out process, unfortunately. I know we want to win now, but once we get to the point where we're probably going to get at, we're probably going to be a sustainable playoff team. But right now, it's going to be slow motion. Remember, they slow-dragged in Denver for a while. So that's how I think AK is doing here in Chicago. But let me know what you think of this. Man, y'all have a good day. Stay blessed. You know what I'm saying? Chicago Bulls, be rare. Peace. And thank you guys for everything y'all do.
See, this is where, like, saying that what the Bulls did with the 12th pick is stupid is silly to me. Like, that's where I get it. Like, even had the Bulls went raw at number 18 again, it's not doing something stupid. It's continue the path that they're down. We got to stop using this thing of because the Bulls went raw, that means that it was a bad or a wasted pick. It's not. It's just not. And here's the thing. I guarantee you, so many Bulls fans, had the Bulls drafted Thomas Sorber, and Thomas Sorber just went on to have perfectly solid career, double-double guy that gets you a couple blocks, but no, a different team drafted Noah Essanay, and Noah Essanay turns into an all-star. Everybody, oh my God, we missed again. Can you believe it? Like, Bulls fans want to complain and bitch one way or another. It just because you went raw, it doesn't mean that it's a wrong pick. Now, it could still be that, and I'm not saying that it can't. Maybe Noah turns into a bust. But you can't say that now just off the nature of AK going with a raw prospect in the draft. That part is silly to me. That part is just really silly to me. Now, as far as, yes, it's going to be a process. It is going to be a big process for this team. This isn't going to be something that turns around year to year after year. This is going to be something, and I, for one, want to see that. That is the more sustainable thing. When you build something that takes a process to get to, that is where you have something then that is more sustainable. The reason why the Bulls completely flustered out after Lonzo went down is because we put that team together and had to give up so many assets to get that done. Imagine had we still had draft assets, right? And then when Lonzo went down and we were a team, our lottery picks weren't going to Orlando. Like, then you would have had a more streamlined, you would have had a more strong process. That is what the Bulls are doing. So, yes, it's going to be a longer process. And I know that sucks for fans because, again, like I said earlier, we're tired of freaking losing. But that is the more sustainable play if you do it right. Now AK just has to do it right. And that is another concern all within of itself. All right, let's get into this last one for today, man. This one's from Mello.
What's going on, Hayes? This is Mello. I just wanted to speak on the whole draft situation and everything like that. Now, first I'm going to start with the undrafted players that they took. I like them just focusing on the shooting, you know what I'm saying, with Grill, because he's got a gun and he can shoot. So I think in the league, he'll be one of those specialist guys that'll come on just as a floor spacer, which is something the Bulls need. So that'll help. Same thing with the dude from Villanova, Poplar. He's good. I don't understand why he went undrafted, because he actually has a nice little game. You know, he plays defense. He can hit the three. He can attack the basket. You know, he got some hops. He can actually play. I've seen Villanova play a lot. He averaged, 15-7 last season. So those are good numbers in the Big East, you know. So I think he's actually going to be a good player. I've seen him play a lot. And he actually fits what the Bulls are kind of trying to do, especially at the guard spot. He hits the boards, you know. So I think he's actually going to be somebody that could be something with the Bulls. And as far as the Essanay pick, I see a lot of negativity coming from fans and in the press and stuff like that, which I don't understand because, in all honesty, I look at him the same way I looked at Modest last year. Like, everybody was high on Modest because Modest dropped to the Bulls. And they were saying, oh, he's supposed to be number one and number two pick and everything like that. He ended up coming down to the Bulls and we ended up taking him. But everybody thought that the Bulls should go center with, you know, dude from Georgetown or Queen and everything like that. But this kid is actually similar to Modest. If you look at his game, him and Modest could actually play good off of each other because of the way that he plays and the way that Modest plays, they would be able to complement each other really well. And at the same time, they'd be able to grow together. You know, and I look at his game, I'm like, okay, we took Modest from the G League, was at the Ignite team. And this guy was actually a professional over, I think it was in Germany, where he was playing. So both of them are coming from places where they play professional ball. They're both built similarly. I think he's taller than Modest, and both of them have those long arms and everything like that. But putting them together, they can grow together. I actually like this pick. I think it has a lot of upside. And I watched some clips of him, some highlights and things like that. He can play. I think he can play. He has a confidence about him. You can see when he's on the court, similar to what Modest has, where you can see that he wants to be better. And he actually knows that he can play. And I think that's the difference. Everybody's, oh, Patrick Williams. This dude is nothing like Patrick Williams. You can see it on the court. Patrick Williams doesn't show no type of emotion, good, bad, or indifferent. So people need to stop that. he's nothing like Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams and Peterson all, AK messed it up. T-Will has all the talent in the world. He's just mentally.
First of all, why are East Coasters always, yeah, you know, it's Melo. It's just, you know, you just love you, Melo. I got to mess with you a little bit, though. But between Modest Buzelis, Josh Giddey, and now Noah Essengay, you can see that the Bulls are starting to draft around a style of play in mind. It doesn't mean that they're going to be successful in executing that, but it does show that they may finally have locked in on a vision of what type of team that they want to build. And I'm not mad at them getting players that fit that mode. I'm not mad at that at all, because at least you're thinking about something rather than just, that's one thing that hurt Gar Paxton towards the end. They were just drafting players, hoping something was going to stick. Didn't really think about who fit together where or anything like that. They were just drafting players. So now that AK seems to finally have locked in on, all right, this is the style of play I want my team to have. This is the identity that we want our team to have. They can draft within that style, within that fit. And of course, they got to hope that somebody's going to turn into a star, but it does show at least some type of planning. Doesn't mean that they're going to be successful. I want to keep there. Just because you have a plan doesn't mean that that plan is going to be successful. But hey, for so long, it seemed like we didn't have to plan, so at least we got a plan now. Also, Melo, I did not cut off your voicemail. You got to remember 3-minute time limit. It seems like you were about to start cooking there. The 3-minute time limit took you out there, brother. So got to remember that 3-minute time limit when y'all call in, by the way. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. That's my time for today. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.